Sylvia and me.
Hi, I'm Sylvia Beckerman. Join me today as I talk to an extraordinary woman who is changing the world by making a difference in her life and the lives of those around her.
Hi, I'm Mary Barnaby, CEO for Girl Scouts of Connecticut, and welcome to Sylvia and Me.
Mary, I am so happy to have you here on our podcast this morning. And Girl Scouts goes back over 100 years, and it was started by a woman in her 50s, Juliet Gordon Daisy, as she was known, Lowe. She started off with 18 young girls. She had come from someplace overseas and had seen a gathering of young girls. And tell me, she kept saying prepared. She wanted girls to be prepared. So how has this grown into something that's was about 3.8 million girls in just the U.S. alone?
Well, thanks, Sylvia. It's great to be here. Thank you for giving me this opportunity. When I think about Juliet Gordon Lowe, I think about the power of how one woman or even one girl can make a huge difference in the world. And what Juliet saw was that girls were kind of being, at that time, as even they are today, a little bit marginalized. They were kind of kept in the house. They were doing their, you know, needlepoint, and they're playing the harpsichord, and they were wearing long dresses. And she saw that girls could do more. She saw that they could be outside. They could be camping. They could be riding horses. They could be making a difference in the world. They could be challenging some of the standards of the time. And so she just said, I'm going to do this. And she lived in Savannah, Georgia at the time. She was actually a socialite, but her husband kind of abandoned her at some point. He was a wealthy man. And she said, I'm just going to do this, because this is the right thing to do. So as you said, in her 50s, she founded Girl Scouts, and she said, today I'm going to do something for all the girls in the world. And she had this global vision, and I think that's what I love about her. It wasn't just, okay, I'm going to get a few girls together in Savannah, and we're going to go ride some horses. It was, we have a vision for something that is so much bigger. And that's how it got started.
Well, the vision, and we'll get into that. And I think that, you know, when we think about Girl Scouts, at least when I do, you know, the brownies, the Thin Mints, the, you know, little, you know, the outfits. But I came to realize as I was, you know, doing some research, there are quite a number of very, not just famous and influential, but some really neat people who were Girl Scouts, including Queen Elizabeth II. But we have Princess Leia, Carrie Fisher. We have Lucille Ball. We have Venus Williams, Susan Lucci, soap opera, you know, actress. We have, you have a variety of people. And Laura Bush.
Condoleezza Rice is another.
Nancy Reagan. And Taylor Swift. So tell me, you know, it's an organization that's over 100 years old, but how does Girl Scouts remain relevant today?
Well, I think that's the most important question, because when Juliet started it, she was really breaking glass. I mean, that was, you know, what she was doing with girls was kind of on the cutting edge. And we have a lot of wonderful traditions. We have our cookies, we have our crafts, and we have our camps. But we knew as an organization that we had to be relevant in order to sustain ourselves. We had to adapt to the times. And so we've gone through world wars. We've gone through depressions. You know, one of the things that really is a hallmark of Girl Scouting is our commitment to our communities. And that is something that really, I think, has kept us propelled forward and changing with the times. Because it's a natural thing that very generally women want to do good for their communities. They want to give back to their communities. And that's what I think has kept Girl Scouts very relevant. So during World War II, they went out and they made all sorts of things. They did all sorts of things to try to support the war effort, even selling bonds, you know, U.S. savings bonds. Even during the Civil Rights Movement, they marched because they felt that, you know, social justice was a really important thing. I mean, we were integrated as an organization well before any of the Civil Rights Acts were passed, because the spirit of Girl Scouting is really inclusiveness. The spirit is really being a sister to every other Girl Scout. And that's what I think has kept us relevant. At the same time, our national organization, Girl Scouts of the USA, does a lot of research, and they do a lot of research on girls and what girls need and what they want. And we know, and we can talk some more about this maybe a bit later, one of the biggest areas is confidence, self-esteem, having girls feel like they matter. And then
That is, to me, I think we could talk about that now, because it's so important. As young girls, you know, we grow up, we're supposed to be little, you know, feminine, playing with our dolls. And in today's day and age, with there has been so much advancement, women were still in the minority as far as the workforce and gender pay and so on and so forth. But it's so important to start at a young age to get that confidence, to feel good about yourself, to feel a part of a community. So tell me how World War II, civil rights, suffragettes, and now we have the Me Too. How do you get young? What do you see are the most important qualities that you can prop a young girl and get them to really not just want to deal with their community and help their community, but help themselves in order to be able to help their community?
Yeah, well, our mission is still the same as it was when Juliet founded us. It's building girls of courage, confidence, and character who make the world a better place. But if you look at girls today, what we want them to do, and that's why we remain a single gender organization, and I'm sure you're going to want to talk about that a little bit later.
Yes.
But we want them to have a positive sense of themselves. We want them to have positive values. We want them to have healthy relationships, to seek challenges. That's really important. Take risks, healthy risks, and then give back to their community. Those are the five outcomes that all of our programs, and we work in four different program areas today: STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math, entrepreneurship, outdoor, because girls outdoors, riding horses, archery, all those things that they try are really important. And then finally, life skills. And that gets back to leadership, because we want every girl, and not just if she's a Girl Scout, but we want every girl to feel that she can be the person she's meant to be and entitled to do that.
Well, some of the statistics, I know that 50% of female business leaders, Girl Scouts, 80% of female tech leaders, 76% of female U.S. senators, and I met some over the weekend, and 100% of female U.S. secretaries of states. That Girl Scouts help fuels the female leadership pipeline. What do you think is the first important piece that a young girl needs in order to get on? So what are the steps?
Yeah, without a question, it's confidence and it's belief in herself. And we know today, whether a girl is affluent or in poverty, that she needs to believe in herself and she needs to be encouraged to achieve what she is capable of achieving. And if you look at our national CEO, Sylvia Acevedo, who I know, Sylvia, you met recently, and she was living in poverty in New Mexico. She was a Mexican-American, and it was her Girl Scout leader who introduced her to astronomy through a Girl Scout project that gave Sylvia this passion. And then she went on to be the first Latina to become an engineer through a scholarship program at Stanford University. So think about that, going from poverty to To being a rocket scientist. And that's what is the most important thing for us. It's to give girls that confidence to believe that they can do what they want to do. Now, I believe in hard work. You have to do the work.
Oh, definitely.
You know? But we have so many ways along the way, whether it's through our programs that really help girls to build skills, whether it's building their leadership skills. And then I think also giving them the opportunity to fail, because if you fail and try again, you won't be afraid. And then they can go into the world with men in their careers and feel confident that they have a right to be there. I think that's the most important thing, because when they're about in middle school, they start to pull back. There's a lot of research that shows when they get to be in fourth, fifth, and sixth grade, they really start to say, oh, maybe I'm not so good at math. Maybe I can't be a scientist. Maybe I can't be a doctor, whatever it is they want to be. Maybe I can't be a good parent. You know, it's really something that we want girls, whatever they do, to feel that they are confident enough to do that.
So the age where it's exceedingly important to get young girls to really start participating is probably around second or third grade, to get them to a point where in fourth, fifth, and sixth grade, when they start feeling that lack of confidence, looking around, because it's a very precarious time for young women, because for children in particular, but especially for young girls, because you're kind of preparing them to go into an environment of, as they call it these days, middle school. In my day, it was junior high. In middle school, where, you know, everything is so skewed these days that I believe fourth, fifth, and sixth grade, you're building that confidence. We know that girls and boys do mature at a different rate, and there's different things. I'd like to go into the discussion about, I know that the Boy Scouts have started allowing women or young girls in, but the Girl Scouts is gender specific. Can you talk about the reason for making that decision?
Yeah. I think it's really important, because we believe our work is not done. You know, I like to say girls are our business. We've been working with girls for, as you said, over 100 years. And we know, as you said earlier too, that girls develop differently neurologically, physically, of course, and also in terms of their social and emotional learning. And what we feel that Girl Scouts can give girls is really the opportunities to build their skills and their muscle, I like to say, in a safe environment where they can try things. You know, let's think about something. Let's say you're at a, you know, a camp, and girls are doing archery, and there are boys there. You know, the boys are going to be stronger. The boys are going to hit the target more. The girls might be embarrassed that they're not going to be as strong. And so they may not feel as comfortable doing that. And so we like to say, let's give you a safe environment where you can try something. And if you fail, we're going to encourage you. We have wonderful volunteers and adults who are really there encouraging girls to reach their full potential. So we've decided, we have the research, we already have programs that we've had, you know, evidence-based programs for years. We know how to help girls to thrive and succeed. I frankly think the Boy Scouts are really good at what they do in a lot of ways with boys. And I think, by the way, you're a mother of sons, I'm a mother of a boy. Yeah. You know, boys need their space too, and boys need role models. You know, I was a single mom, you were a single mom. And an organization like Boy Scouts can really rise to the occasion and say, there are a lot of boys that don't have males in their life, and how can we make Boy Scouts a place where they can develop skills? Because let's face it, Sylvia, we have a lot of bad role models out there right now for men.
yes, we do.
And so it's really important, whether it's entertainers or athletes or, you know, even politicians, what do boys need? And so I'm not going to get into the Boy Scout strategy, but I'm just saying that we are not going to become, we're not going to admit boys into our organization, because we really have work to do for girls still. And we believe in with passion that we have a mission.
Well, I truly agree with you, especially, you know, raising boys. So In this environment of Me Too, how have you been able to communicate to young Girl Scouts exactly, you know, we're talking about things that are now coming up that happened before they were born. Sure. They wouldn't know about that kind of environment from back then, and certain aspects of it. How do you communicate to these young girls?
Well, you know, sadly, I think, though, as much as it might have been different when we were younger and there were different maybe mores in society and companies and organizations weren't as, you know, vigilant about making sure that there wasn't that sort of harassment. I mean, it's still out there. And I'll tell you, a couple of years ago, we had a day at the Capitol with our older girls, and we met with our legislators, and we asked them, what do you want to talk about, girls? You know, let them decide what they wanted to dialogue with the legislators. And they said, we want to talk about sexual harassment because we really want to find out what is the state government doing about helping to protect and make sure it wasn't happening. And then also, what can we do in our communities to sort of keep it from happening? So they're very much aware of it. They're seeing it all over the media. They're seeing it, you know, with all of these CEOs getting, you know, busted and all that stuff. But so I think it's real to them. And I think what Girl Scouts hopes to provide to them in the way of their development is, in fact, one young woman said this to me. She said, Mary, I want it to be hashtag not me. And I want to be strong
great.
Enough
yes.
to say, you know, that I will be able to say no and mean it and be able to have the strength to walk away. Because let's face it, a lot of women who have been victims didn't feel powered to do that.
That's the whole thing. They didn't feel empowered. They were shot down in places when they went to discuss it. There wasn't any, you know, safe place for them to go. And a lot of times they were looked on like, oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, right.
I don't believe you. Whereas now there's something always going on. There really is. And to make these young girls aware that there are certain things that are just not right, and certain things that you can just say, hey, get your hand, you know, I don't need to be
no
pet all the
no.
time, and no means no. You mentioned, you know, some of the programs that you have. I know one of them is STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math.
And math.
And I know that Sally Ride, the first American woman in space, went on to inspire millions of girls and become interested in STEM, and she was a Girl Scout. So why don't we talk about a couple of the programs, because I think they're so important to what your goals are and how these young girls have become young women and successful, not just successful money-wise, but successful within themselves and their careers.
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up. I would say, too, that when we did a lot of research with girls around STEM, they're very interested, but very often they don't feel prepared. And by the way, they're not being encouraged, because even a school teacher sometimes assumes that the boys have more of an aptitude for it. But what we find is they are interested in STEM and they want it to do good for the world. So, you know, if you look at something like, you know, climate change, and they want to do science, they want to be interested, but they want it to have a positive impact on the community. And so we have programs in robotics. We have programs in, and we still have our badges, Sylvia. So what we do is the badges are still around from when we were all Girl Scouts younger, but the badges are now in things like cybersecurity, the robotics, coding, learning to code a computer,
right.
Citizen science, which is really interesting. And that's when girls can actually work along with a scientific organization right in their own communities and gather data. You know how we're talking all about these triple E mosquitoes right now here in Connecticut. Girls can actually, you know, work with their communities and say, do research that they could send on to the scientific organizations by observing what's happening in their own community. So we want girls to jump in with both feet and to become interested. And we're finding that they really love it. More of our girls. I was just talking with one of our girls who's an alum, and she's an engineer at Sikorsky building helicopters. I mean, probably only one woman of a large group, but we want these girls to feel that if this is what's in their heart and their passion, that they can pursue it.
That's great. You have, so you still have the badges.
We love our badges, yes.
And one of the top badges is gold, which it's the most prestigious award in the world for girls. Tell us some more about that, and what does a young girl have to do in order to get that achievement?
Yeah, thank you. Usually it's a girl who's a junior or senior in high school. I know you've met some of our Gold Award girls, especially one special one that you interviewed. And what the Gold Award is, and it's only, so only 6% of eligible girls earn it. So it's pretty, and that's in the whole country.
Yeah.
And it really, a girl identifies a problem in her community. She comes up with a plan to solve that problem, and it has to have a sustainable outcome. And generally, she spends about 80 to 100 hours. And this is a time for a lot of girls when they're busy with other activities, they're applying to college. So it really has to be something, a passion in their life. They have to go before a review board with their project to get it accepted. They have a mentor. They have to usually raise a little money in their community to get the project done. So it's really way ahead of what they're doing when they go to even college. And then they have to figure out a way to make it sustainable. So just the example of Lauren, who you interviewed, she identified a problem that when substitute teachers would come into her high school, they weren't familiar, and this is really sad to say, with the lockdown procedures. And, you know, we know it's sad to say in our society today that our kids have to worry about that. So she devised a plan where in all of the classrooms, there was a sort of a plastic sleeve on the wall with instructions for what to do in the event of an emergency or a lockdown. So if you're a substitute teacher, you can go in. And this is, by the way, happening all over the state now. She not only made it sustainable in her own high school, but all over the state. We have another girl from Newtown who opened a preschool in Uganda. But girls are doing projects in everything, in science, in healthcare, substance abuse, really working hard in their communities, depression, mental illness. These are the problems they're identifying in their community, and they're making solutions, and they're extraordinary.
And this all comes from an organization that is, as we've been saying, over 100 years old, and it's not only are these young girls doing something sustainable, but the organization itself has shown that it is sustainable.
But Sylvia, can I say something to you too, in terms of your business and the work that you're doing? You've kind of done like a gold award on steroids for women, you know, seriously identifying this problem that women need this community and they need this voice. And that's what you're doing. So it's very, very similar to the work that these young women are doing.
Well, I thank you. That's why in doing this, you know, looking into the Girl Scouts, it is something. Girl Scouts is great for young girls. And as we get older, not old, but older, we need a community too. So without having gone, I was a brownie, but without having gone any further.
You had the natural Girl Scout instinct though.
So tell me, your membership in Connecticut, you're the CEO of Connecticut, Girl Scouts of Connecticut. How have the numbers grown, and what are the challenges that you're now facing?
Well, you know, sadly to say, our numbers aren't growing. We've kind of slowed down a little bit. We do have 26,000 girls in the state, which is about almost 10% of the population of girls 5 to 17. So that sounds fabulous. But we do know, and then we could look at communities, for example, like Ridgefield, where they have a very high percentage of girls in Girl Scouting because there are volunteers in the community, the parents see the value of it. But then if you go into some of the more underserved communities around the state, whether it's Waterbury or Bridgeport or and Hartford, New Haven, the numbers are a lot lower. And so a lot of what we're doing is making sure that we can support our volunteers because they're very important to us and the work that they're doing. But also we have to figure out new ways we can get into communities where maybe volunteers are not available. And that's where we're doing, you know, certain things, getting grants and fundraising so that we can find ways to get into these communities and help girls that maybe are in under-resourced homes to participate in Girl Scouting.
And in areas where it's needed.
Very much so.
The majority of young girls living in some of these areas could thrive so much from that kind of support and that kind of community. I think what you're, you know, trying to do and what you've put out there as, you know, a goal and a plan is so necessary. So one of the things that we haven't talked about is what differentiates Girl Scouts from other organizations for girls?
Well, for one thing, I call it an organization that provides progressive leadership opportunities. So you start with a girl who's 5 years old, and actually my granddaughter in Texas just started as a Daisy in Girl Scouts. But she can go all the way through high school and keep gradually building her skills. And we are what we call a girl-led organization. So as the girls get older, the troop leaders or whatever adult is leading them is learning to step back and let the girls take the leadership role. So I think that differentiates us because it's something that really a thread of leadership that goes through a number of different years. I think the other piece of it is that I like to say we're the liberal arts of girls leadership because if you play sports, you play a sport. If you are in the band, you play an instrument. But in Girl Scouts, you get to try all different things. You might learn about something in science. You might find out that you love to do something in the outdoors that you never tried before. You might learn that you are a natural leader. So I think those are some of the things that we bring to the table. You know, it's this progression of experience. It's progression of leadership. It's learning different things. It's really feeling. And then I like to say we're going to make girls career ready. And, you know, they're having fun. They're building a community, a sisterhood, which is, you know from your own work, it's, you know, this community of women is very important. They're building that whole support network. But at the same time, we are secretly making them career ready. And they're learning about things that they might want to then translate into a future career. And that way, I think we're helping a lot of the big companies out there because they're, for example, if you look at cybersecurity, there's going to be a million jobs in this country that aren't filled in cybersecurity. We have cybersecurity programs for the girls from when they're 5 years old. They're learning about safety too, which is really important.
Very important.
So they're learning this stuff and they're going to be ready if they want to go to college and pursue that study, to get a job in an organization where that skill is required. So that's another thing that I think we're really doing that's kind of the hidden agenda, but really important for, I think, supporting our economy and supporting our communities.
Most definitely. And it gives these young girls, young ladies, an exposure to things that they might not have known that they were interested in.
Yeah.
That, you know, when you do a sport or you say you're interested in art, well, maybe there are other topics that you didn't realize could go along with whatever you're doing. So the exposure is great. So you have your STEM, your outdoors, entrepreneurship, life skills. It sounds like you're really getting these young girls from age maybe 5 all the way up through, you know, getting them ready for college and career and onward. So as far as I can see, this 100-year-old, again, organization will be around for quite some time, and it's amazing what you have done. And I want to thank you so much for joining us here today.
Oh, Sylvia, thank you for giving me this opportunity. It was great. It's great to meet you. You're fabulous.
Well, thank you. Again, Mary, thank you so much. Girl Scout cookies, that program, well, it's not just about cute little girls selling cookies outside the supermarket. It is a true social enterprise for girls. Each year, most of the 26,000 Connecticut Girl Scouts sell over 2.1 million boxes of cookies. And in doing so, they learn valuable life skills. Setting goals, making decisions, money management, working with the public, and learning about business ethics. For each box sold, they earn close to a dollar, so that every year, close to $2 million goes back into the communities where the girls sell, and they use their proceeds for community service projects, to plan adventures and trips, and often to provide financial assistance to girls who otherwise could not afford to participate in the Girl Scouts. It is a social enterprise at work. Because of these girls, over 100,000 boxes of Girl Scout cookies are sent to our military every year. To find out more about Girl Scouts of Connecticut, visit their website at www.gsofct.org. Thank you for joining me today. On our next podcast, I'll be talking with another extraordinary woman. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, iHeartRadio, and of course, our website, lifeofprey.com. Listen, subscribe for free, and take us with you wherever you are. This has been a Life of Prey production.